If you want to shine like the sun, you've got to burn like it. You're listening to Morrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
At some point, the basic economics really matter, and they matter because not that it's bad that rich people are getting richer, it's bad that everyone else is getting poorer. And it's especially bad that young people can't afford homes. Let me just put a very precise point on this. If you want a measure of how your economy is doing, I personally favor eliminating GDP as a measure. I don't even know what that is. It's clearly not relevant. They tell me Japan has a stagnant GDP. Have you been to Tokyo? It's the single most radicalizing experience you'll ever have because it's just so nice. You lost the war? Really? Can we lose a war and wind up like this? GDP. No. I don't know what even that is, the total economic activity. Oh, no. My measure is really simple. I got a bunch of kids. Can they afford houses with full-time jobs at like 27, 28? And the answer is no way. And the answer is that 35-year-olds with really good jobs can't afford a house unless they stretch and go deep into debt. And I just think that's a total disaster. That's a complete disaster. Why? Two reasons. One, if people don't own things, they don't feel ownership of the country they're in. And the country gets super volatile because people feel like they've got nothing to lose. When you have a lawn, trust me, you're thinking long term. Second, it's really hard to have a family without a house. It is. It's like super fun to live in an apartment if, you know, there's like a bar downstairs, you're in a cool neighborhood. I'm in East Village. It's so cool. Try to have three kids. You're not going to have three kids. There you can't. Nobody wants to raise their kids in that neighborhood. Nobody wants to raise their kids in an apartment. People do it because they have to. Nobody wants to. People want a little house, not some McMansion, just a little normal house. That is the actual American dream. And that is what is totally unattainable for young people. And so the only young people in general that you will ever meet who have houses are young people whose parents help them. And God bless their parents. That's a perfectly great thing to do for your kids. But most people's parents can't afford to do that because they're already in debt from their pointless college degree. So that is a national emergency. One of the reasons it's happening is because normal people with normal jobs no longer believe they can win in this system and that all the money is going to the worst people. And no one even stops to ask, what the hell is going on? But what I'm saying is that our leadership class should say something about it and should assign a moral value to it. And if you're getting rich by loaning money to people at incredibly high interest rates, that's something you're going to have to talk to God about. That is not good. That is not virtuous. That's disgusting. And the fact that nobody feels free to say that, nobody feels like you can just say like 30% on a credit card. Why is anybody paying a credit card bill? You know, because they always say, like, if the very rich, if you borrow enough from a bank, you're kind of in charge of the bank because they need you to pay them back. So they're totally happy to negotiate terms with you. But if you borrow a little bit from the bank, they'll just take your house away. So what if people got together and just decided, wait a second, 30% interest is a lot, especially since they're pushing credit cards on kids like crap.
What would be your advice, you know, given this back and forth? You know, we're just coming off of Turning Point here in Tampa. You know, this was the topic of conversation. What would be your advice in order to take the temperature down on this issue from within the administration?
Well, I do think that there needs to be more transparency on this. And I think that that will happen. I mean, look, I don't know what truly exists there, but I know that this is something that's important to the president as well. He does want transparency on all these fronts, everything we're talking about, because it's frustrated him as well. He sat for 4 years like the rest of us did. And saw lie after lie and saw our country just being sent down the wrong path. And it was really frightening and very upsetting to a lot of people to see. And I would actually say over the past 10 years, we've all kind of endured this. Prior to that, it was probably happening, Benny, but we just weren't as aware of it. It wasn't until Donald Trump came down that golden escalator that he just kind of blew the doors off of everything. And people started to wake up and realize, wait a minute, things are not as they have always been presented to us. And I do believe that.
And amazing that Laura Trump is coming out saying that there will be more transparency. But we've also heard that for months now from Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, and others. And all we got was an edited video of a hallway with no answers and more questions. I'm going to take your calls. On the other side of this break, I see Melissa, Eric, Brandon, Tim, Matt, and others on the board. Please call in 877-789-2539. The sooner you call, the more likely I am to get to you. That's 877-789-2539. One more time, 877-789-2539. And go to thealexjonesstore.com for the love of God.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
While other shows lie to you about what's happening now, Tomorrow's News Tonight tells you the truth about what's happening next with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. Taking your call for the remainder of this transmission, it is 10:06 p.m. Central Standard Time on July 14th, 2025. And I would like to hear from Melissa in Michigan first. Melissa, what is on your mind, young lady?
Hi, Chase. I'm a first-time caller, and I love the show.
Thank you.
I believe if the Epstein information is released, it could collapse the economy because it's so intertwined with the stock market. I believe that human trafficking and organ harvesting has overtaken the oil and drug industry, and it affects our government, governments around the world, banks, DOJ, FBI, CIA, CPS, HHS, etc. And the reason we need justice is the children will never be safe unless there's justice.
Yeah. We should always just do the right thing, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I don't know why it is that it's so difficult for people. Here's the reason I think that it could collapse the economy if the truth comes out. And frankly, if we have to cover up for giant human trafficking, child abuse rings in order to save the economy, then maybe we deserve some outcome similar to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe we deserve the massive floods and the explosion of Yellowstone in an unprecedented surprise volcanic eruption, which, by the way, there's evidence to suggest that that's about ready to happen. I haven't even gotten into that yet, but if you think about what's going on, we have a dollar that is not backed by gold. Ever since we took it off the gold standard under the Nixon administration, and really it happened under Roosevelt first, where during the Great Depression, you couldn't have any gold in your personal possession except for your wedding ring. It was all seized by the government, so we haven't really been on a gold standard for very long, but the nail in the coffin, the final nail in the coffin, was under the Nixon administration. We go off the gold standard, and immediately Nixon sets up the OPEC arrangement, which establishes the petrodollar. So this ensures that all oil in the Middle East be traded in U.S. dollars. So despite the fact that the dollar is worth absolutely nothing, it's a total fiat currency. We're engaged in fractional reserve centralized banking. There is an artificial demand created for the dollar, which props it up. And that is the fact that oil must be traded in dollars. It's why we got in wars in Iraq, in Afghanistan. It's why we overthrew regimes in Libya. And it's why we're involved with Israel in the way that we're involved today. We go over there and people say, oh, well, it must not have been about the oil because we didn't take any of the oil. It wasn't about taking the oil. It was about ensuring that oil be traded in dollars. Why do you think it is that we don't drill for our own oil in the United States of America? Everybody talks about the reason we don't drill for our own oil is because we have such great, big, humongous environmental concerns. And the leftist lobby prevents us from things like pipelines and drilling offshore because they care so much about the fish and the birds and the animals and the natural habitats. And it's true that there's a radical army of leftists that just love plants and animals more than they love humanity itself. And they would even go so far as to sacrifice humanity for the sake of saving a planet, despite the fact no one would be left to live on it if they had their depopulation worldview agenda play out the way that they would. But the reason we don't drill our own oil is because we want increased demand for U.S. dollars overseas. And so reliance on overseas oil is good for the dollar as the global reserve currency. That's what it's all about. And right now we have China establishing the Belt and Road Initiative. This is a trade corridor that seeks to generate, create, conglomerate a monopoly on all trade on that side of the planet. And we're endeavoring to create an alternative trade route called the IMEC corridor, which goes from India through Saudi Arabia into the port of Haifa in Israel. And I said on April 24th last year that as soon as Iran attacks Haifa, the U.S. will go to war. And Iran attacked Haifa, and within 7 days, we were bombing their so-called nuclear facilities with B-2 bombers. Just as I predicted. Because it's all about stabilizing the region so that we can compete with China's trade. That's why there's a proxy war happening right now between China and the United States with proxies Israel and Iran taking place. And it was a stroke of genius in foreign policy that Trump was able to de-escalate this conflict, which basically every superpower, including our own military-industrial complex, wants to escalate as badly as possible because, in their mind, it's a matter of national security that we neutralize all threats in the region and ensure that oil will be traded in dollars, that we have a monopoly on trade in the region, all while we scale up the Golden Dome and the artificial intelligence arms race that we're in this new Cold War with China. This is all about ensuring U.S. dominance in the 21st century, but not a new type of U.S. dominance. It's based in justice and righteousness, but more of the same type of dominance where we engage in Machiavellian or utilitarian practices to ensure that we're in war after war, conflict after conflict, innocent people after innocent people to the tune of millions upon millions dying constantly, like we see right now in Ukraine or like we see in these conflicts between Israel and Gaza. I mean, we wanted this genocide to take place in Gaza because we wanted the region to be stabilized. And we knew that the only way to stabilize the region was to kill everybody in it because, after all, 40% of them are married to their first or second cousins with average IQs below 85 and the average age being 18. So it's a Muslim all over twist in the Gaza Strip, and the only way to solve that problem is just to kill everybody and move everybody who's left. And you're going to see reports over the next 30 days, I guarantee it, of a new Muslim Trail of Tears where they are going to move everybody from the Gaza Strip to places like Libya or other surrounding areas in exchange for relieving massive sanctions that have been in place in these Middle Eastern countries. And they're going to pawn it off as some sort of justice when what it really is just displacing people forcibly because 70-80% of all the buildings in the Gaza Strip have been destroyed by Mossad. And the real reason that this Epstein trash hasn't come out is because it was all an intelligence operation executed by Mossad on behalf of the CIA to ensure our national security interests in the region, which are totally unjust because we have money that is a lie. And what is one of the Ten Commandments, if not, thou shalt not lie or thou shalt not bear false witness? Well, our money itself is a lie. And so we pay the price of, as a civilization, every single day that we exchange the U.S. dollar with anyone anywhere, committing a lie, being complicit in that lie. And that, in and of itself, is enough for us to face God's justice. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen if we don't repent right now, because the kingdom of God is near. Let's go to Eris in Wisconsin. Eris in Wisconsin, you've been waiting patiently. What's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, I just want to remind you and everybody, and I'm not making excuses, but here in Wisconsin, it was a battleground state, and they always say the biggest cards for the end, and it was really close during the election. And right before the end of the end of all the advertisements, right before the election, all around Milwaukee, they had pictures on the billboard entering and exiting the city of Trump with Epstein. And you know, in New York, all those socialites know each other.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people are tied in, probably buddies of his and stuff, maybe people he knows or done business with or... it's all kind of interconnected. Like I said before, I'm not making excuses for him. Obviously, I want...
Sure, an explanation is not the same thing as an excuse.
And I think elites, in general, kind of look at the masses. You know, they give their sons up to go be cannon fodder and women and children for, like, sex slaves. And it's a thing that's been going on in different societies for so long. And
it's even depicted in the end of the movie Eyes Wide Shut, where they very obviously, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, hand their little daughter off to strangers walking by in the toy store.
But like I said, like Lex Rosen is able to get so many people, like the FBI should be able to, and like the government should be able to get many, many more, you know? And I was thinking, because on Friday they had that interview, Owen had that interview with the Epstein survivor,
yeah.
Juliet, what was her name?
Juliet, I can't remember her last name, but yes.
Yeah, and she was like, Epstein like shapeshifted in front of her. And other people like Bill Gates' wife, Melinda Gates, said like she had like nightmares about him and stuff. And like the picture on Drudge today, one of his smiling pictures, it's like, how many teeth does this guy have? And we haven't really kind of danced with the fact of like, what if there are these shapeshifters amongst us, either from another planet, another dimension? Some people said they're like aliens and they can like, their brains and telepathy are so strong they can make you see things and read your mind and make you think things. But then again, I was listening to the interview and she kind of sounds like a hippie festival girl. Maybe they drugged her. She had some crazy drugs. They give them some drugs and like, oh yeah, they'll see that you're a reptile and some horror vision like the Scarecrow and Batman and they'll keep their mouth shut, you know, because it's some crazy hallucinogen.
Right.
CIA grade, you know. But, like, obviously that's tied in the mix. And I look at it as akin, like, Trump releasing all the stuff with Epstein is, like, releasing any black op that's going on within the government and society, either it be, like, the CIA and the government and the different cartels' implications in the drug trade, the organ harvesting. You know, it's the dark underbelly of society. And to pull that rug up, I think would have like dramatic impacts on the economy because all those psychopath billionaires will have the attitude like, you know, the Solomon plan or whatever it's called. Like if I'm going down, I'm going to take the whole ship down with me, you know, these crazy mad scientist people. And then I thought it was weird in Trump's tweet, he said like Epstein never dies. Was he like hinting that like Epstein is alive? And anyway, I was just wondering, well, mostly with the shapeshifter stuff, because that was kind of spooky, you know? And, like, other famous people have brought that up. You know, like Billy Corrigan on Joe Rogan said that, like, he was in front of a group of people and a person in front of him and the whole group of people just shapeshifted. So then it's like, okay, well, you're in front of a group of people now. Are you having a shared hallucinogen? Did everyone get hallucination? Did everyone get dosed with some drug? You know, some gas or something.
Well, and she described waking up with people in hazmat suits around her and stuff. Obviously, there was some very MKUltra-esque perverted things that were going on at that island. I mean, the whole island is built like a cult sex ritual just in terms of the architecture. What is there? Why is there a temple on that island?
Yeah, and I think there's stuff underground. You know, like
who
did like the ground penetrating radar over Egypt. They need to go over Epstein Island and see what's underground. See, like people don't study in ancient history, but in ancient history, underground was like the key safe spot.
Yeah,
if you look on Easter
Look,
Island,
we've
it, have,
it's a
like,
problem when we've heard more from James O'Keefe as to the nature of that facility or the details of that island than we've heard from our own federal government after all of its institutions have been weaponized to go through the tens of thousands of hours of documents they're covering up. There was definitely a list. And even if there wasn't a list, they could have put one together based off of all the video evidence, all of the appointment evidence, all of the phone call history, all of the text history. You're telling me there are no details whatsoever? I mean, why is it that the government knows when I've spent more than $600 in my Venmo account and can tax me based off of that, but for some reason they have no idea whatsoever what's taking place with Jeffrey Epstein on this island when virtually everyone imaginable has been involved? From former prime ministers of Israel to Prince Andrew? I mean, even Prince Andrew should be arrested. There's enough evidence right there of people coming out and confessing that he was there, that he was engaged in underage sexual activity. His own handler, his own bagman, caught on another Project Veritas video or an O'Keefe Media Group video, admitting that Andrew was engaged in underage sexual activity on the island. This is where the real sin of our civilization is. When everybody knows that something incredibly unjust is happening, when everybody knows who's committed what crimes, when everybody and their mother knows the extent to which this depravity has saturated our entire civilization, our leaders, with specific details and specific cases and even dates. But there's no accountability whatsoever. Because all that matters is whether or not the people responsible or the institutions responsible for covering it up come out and admit that it was real. That's when you have a fallen civilization. And I fear, Eris, that we're totally fallen. What do you think?
I don't think we're totally falling because it's like the group of people. It's like there's all these different groups of people. You know, there's like, okay, yeah, if there's some bad people over here, bad apples in the bunch, it doesn't spoil the entire freaking field. You know, maybe it spoils the bunch, but not the entire field, and we should get rid of all apples. You know, I don't think God's designed. I think God is teaching us with this because we also see how this connected it to us internally, how we have lust as part of one of our primal drivers and greed. And these out of control have just run wild, you know. And, like, you forgot to mention that next to Epstein's Island was James Biden had an island, Joe Biden's brother. You know, there was Zora Ranch. There's probably other facilities, you know. I don't think there's just him as a group either. There's probably other groups doing the same thing. And I think it would be a win for any administration because people like seeing justice, you know, the bad guys put away. But it doesn't still solve the underlying problem of, like, you know, the what we have now with sexual degeneracy, rampant abuses and what's normal sex, you know, all the rainbow stuff. But I don't think that everything is beyond repair, you know. But I definitely think there needs to be, like, some cleanup crew going on here and preventing. Imagine the karma, the energy of these people being tortured. I think there's, like, Squid Games going on for real.
Well, what's really bizarre is that not more survivors have come out. I mean, if there's tens of thousands of videos and survivors aren't coming out, it goes to show that they're afraid of what might happen to them if they come out. That's what's really going on here, because they understand that this operation was bigger than just Epstein and Ghislaine. And if Epstein's quote-unquote dead and Ghislaine is locked up, then they should have nothing to fear. But they understand inherently that this implicates way bigger forces, way bigger institutions, way more powerful individuals as well. And so we have to have justice. Otherwise, this is just going to keep happening. Here's clip 34, by the way, which I thought was interesting. Dave Smith shutting down Charlie Kirk over whether or not Israel is our ally. Let's watch.
Is Israel an ally of the United States?
No.
Do you say Israel is not an ally? That is not an opinion that people hear a lot. Why is that?
They have been constantly pushing America toward more aggressive policies, toward getting in more fights. And just like I always say, if you went out to the bar every single night with your friend, and every night your friend's trying to convince you to get into a fight, and while you're beating a lot of people up, you're also taking a lot of wounds, and you're going to jail, and you're getting in trouble, you got to stop hanging out with that friend. And so I think that I also don't believe in welfare, and they shouldn't get another dime of U.S. taxpayer money, and they should not.
So
hold on, their lobby should register as a foreign.
That's a good segue. Finish that.
And they should stop blackmailing our politics.
Got it. So back to Josh.
Mr. Speaker, I introduced today an amendment demanding the full release of the Epstein files. The Speaker's Rules Committee should demand a vote tomorrow of every member of Congress. Yes, we should release it, or no, we should not. This is a question of whose side are you on? Are you on the side of protecting the rich and the powerful who've put their thumb on the scales of government to suck out millions of dollars while working class Americans suffer? Or are you on the side of the people? The Attorney General said on her desk was the Epstein file. And now she's saying, no, 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 nothing to see. Don't release it. This is a question of trust. We need to release the Epstein files so we can restore government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And every member of Congress tomorrow
I'm telling
should
you
be
guys,
forced to vote.
When you have Democrats coming out and calling for the release of the Epstein files, it doesn't look good for the MAGA movement. Let's go to Brandon in Indiana. Brandon in Indiana, what's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, can you hear me, Chase?
You sound great.
Yeah, great. I like the new show, by the way. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, this Epstein file thing, I think if they open that up, it's going to open a web into everything. I bet it goes into the Brennan and Comey crap. Because if the CIA, the Mossad, MI6, all of them are kind of going to be involved in running.
How are you supposed to be able to implicate Brennan and Comey in this new investigation if you're not going to release the Epstein files? That's a great point right there.
If you release the files that they were running that were dirty, well, that's going to be one of them.
Yep. Well, I think that this whole investigation into Brennan and Comey is just going to turn into a major nothing burger, just like everything else from this administration as far as the DOJ is concerned. What do you think?
Well, unless that's Trump's turnaround to get the Epstein files out that are bad, that he, you know, that might not take down the economy. You can get part of it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would like to think that there's a good reason behind this, but it's just so hard for me to believe. Maybe I don't have enough faith.
I keep trying to justify it in my own mind, and yeah. I can't. I just keep coming back. We got to do the right thing for the victims. And I don't care if it sinks our economy and the world economy.
Yes.
Because in the end, we all got to do right by the kids and by God. That's the main thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. What are we propping up this economy for if all it does is fund the abuse and trafficking of children?
We can't keep going down this path. And I thought we were turning when we elected Trump. I've voted for him 3 times now. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it.
Me too.
It's the least of two evils. You know what I mean? Pick the devil you know or the devil you don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even think that he's evil, but I know that this decision is.
Right, right. And I think the reason he doesn't want to just flat out release all the Epstein files is either A, most of it's already been burnt or, you know, incinerated that we would really want.
But if he would have just come out and said, we'd like to release the files, but we have evidence that they've been tampered with and destroyed, that would be enough.
Like, okay, this is what we have, but so much has been destroyed. Like, where, you know, where'd the 14 terabytes go? That's so much, it's unreal.
Right. The DOJ came out and said they only looked through like 300 gigabytes after we heard reports of 14 terabytes. The difference is astounding.
I mean, honestly, they could release a little bit of info and be like, look, this is all that we have left. And we don't know what happened to the rest of it. That's going to be another special. We need a special prosecutor to do an investigation over the CIA, the FBI, all their leaders, and who's ever been, you know, running any of these ops. And they don't, that's, even if it's classified, they can do the investigation from the inside and still not have to release it all.
Amen.
But once you get somebody to put a report together and then say, okay, this is what we can release, and we want to get all new victim statements with this special prosecutor, I think that's the only way you really get to the truth.
Yeah, I totally agree with you 100%. Folks, we're coming up on a break. I see your calls on the board. I'm going to get to Patty, Tim, Matt, Jay, and others on the other side of this break. In the meantime, I need to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we've launched this new power bundle, and it says that it's an additional 10% off, but really it's up to 50% off. It's the power plant formulated by Rex, and it's the methyl drive formulated by Rex Jones. Now, both these formulas by Rex were developed by Bigley, which single-handedly saved InfoWars. So by supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com, you're also supporting them. When taken together, I call it a power drive, because I was driving home a few days ago, not feeling the best. I was tired. I've been working a lot of shifts last week. I did Harrison's show in the morning for 3 hours and then this show every night for 2 hours. I was on air more hours last week than I slept. And all of a sudden, I started feeling really good. And I realized that it was the first day that I'd taken the power plant and the methyl drive together. So I call it a power drive. I highly recommend that you go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Get as much as 50% off both of these incredible products and take them in conjunction with one another. If you miss Turbo Force, or if Turbo Force was one of your favorite products, these two in conjunction are 2, 3, 4, 5 times more powerful. It feels like unlimited power. And if you take it in conjunction with Methylene Blue, it's like next level. It's unbelievable. I can't even believe it's legal, some of the things that we've discovered and unlocked with our products at thealexjonesstore.com. So please check it out right now, not just because you'll experience unprecedented energy, but because by going to thealexjonesstore.com, you are keeping us on the air. So stay tuned. For more on the other side, call in 877-789-2539. I'll get to Patty, Tim, Matt, Jay, and others on the other side of this short break for the final 30 minutes of this transmission.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I could do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend $30, you get $40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today. at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. It's one click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning. And then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil. You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that. Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight. No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, and Robert was starting, and he was writing to Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones of direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. And immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships 2-3 times the size. Just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again, for all of our collective futures, to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
From the tip of the spear to the edge of tomorrow, it's Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Moetzet Yesha, in conjunction with My Israel, has arranged an instruction day for wiki editors. The goal of the day is to teach people how to edit in Wikipedia, which is the number one source of information today in the world. As a way of example, if someone searches the Gaza flotilla, we want to be there. We want to be the guys who influence what is written there, how it's written, and to ensure that it's balanced and Zionist in nature.
Balanced and Zionist in nature. Look, I don't care about Israel. I don't care who has a right to the Holy Land. I don't care about who commits genocide over who. Ever. No matter what. I'm sorry if it seems a little impersonal, but I just don't give a flying... You know what? But I don't want to pay for it. And I don't want to compromise the integrity of my own justice here in this country because of it. And I don't want my politicians being blackmailed by foreign interests, probably on behalf of domestic CIA interests. I mean, you realize that Brennan, for example, I'm going to show clip 21 in a second, was responsible for the approval of visas to many of the 9/11 hijackers. You know that, right? This goes on and back and deep and deep, this level of corruption. Let's watch clip 21.
The 9/11 hijackers who were given visas in Saudi Arabia had those visas approved by John Brennan. Why aren't we talking about that?
I don't understand why we're not. I mean,
John Brennan knew that we were under threat of a massive attack. He was reading the same intelligence that all the rest of us were reading. So how was it that he approved these visas? And one thing I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard it from a CIA colleague, that the State Department consular officer who turned some of these guys down was overridden by John Brennan, and the visas were then granted. Why is that not being investigated?
I have no idea. That seems to me like it should be a top of mind. We need to get to the bottom of this, especially because of everything that happened after that, that relationship that he had there in Saudi Arabia. How could he not know? And then, of course, we never even talked about Saudi Arabia after we went right to Iraq. So,
right.
You know, this is unfinished business.
I led the raid that captured Abu Zubaydah in Pakistan, Faisalabad, Pakistan, in March of 2002. One of the things that we also confiscated that night when we raided his house was his diary, full of important, actionable information. One of the things that we found in that diary were the private cell phone numbers of three Saudi princes. So we went to the Saudi government and we said, what the heck is this? You better give us answers that we believe or we're going to move against these guys. The Saudis said, we'll take care of it. Within months, one of them died on the operating table during bariatric surgery. One of them was killed in a one-car accident on the Riyadh to Jeddah highway. And one of them went camping in the desert and died of thirst. So
wow.
We were never able to interrogate any of these Saudi princes. Well, where was John Brennan when that was all happening? He was the station chief at the time, for God's sake.
Yes. I mean, something's very, very disturbing about his time in Saudi Arabia. And this is even more going in that direction. And then,
and
also,
mind you, this is a guy who spent at the time 25 years in analysis, had never recruited a source in his life, and had never been in an operational position in his life. But he's the station chief in Riyadh.
I mean, I don't even understand. His whole history makes no sense at all. Like, he seems kind of like Obama.
Oh, it's because he and George Tenet were in a bromance starting in the 1990s. George was his rabbi and took care of him like I had never seen.
He's the one who kind of promoted him and took him under his wing after
literally
he was already not doing well.
Right. That's right.
There you go, folks. Unbelievable. Let's go to Tim in New Mexico. Tim in New Mexico, what's on your mind this evening? Thank you for waiting on hold so long.
You there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I've been listening for over 30 years when it was prison planning.
You know, I gotta say, Tim, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm having a real hard time hearing you. I think that your signal might be out. Why don't you try hanging up and calling again? In the meantime, let's go to Jay in Wisconsin. Jay, what's on your mind, sir?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
Perfect. I've just started listening to InfoWars, and it's been maybe about a month or so, and I want to say how much I respect you and Owen for the truth that you guys bring and that you don't sugarcoat anything.
Well, I appreciate that. How did you hear about us?
I think I've heard about you over time. I think I've known about you guys for a while, but
sure.
I don't know if I heard from you from a specific place or not. I think maybe on Fox, maybe on Tucker Carlson, I think I've heard about you a little bit, because I'm a huge fan of Tucker Carlson. I love
sure, me too.
Him all.
And he's a hell of a guy, too, I can tell you that.
If I ever get a chance to meet you guys, it would be incredible. But I was also going to put a positive thing today. I was wondering if you and Owen are in a competition for best head of hair, because you guys have an amazing head of hair. So just wanted to say, no sarcasm by any stretch of the imagination, you both have an amazing head of hair, but I think you could grow on the beard a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a little weak on the beard. In fact, I need to shave it. I look a little bit like a terrorist when I let it go.
That's funny. But what I was going to also say is I joined as a VIP as of Friday, and I'm very thankful. I can't wait. I ordered the
Well, thanks. What'd you order first?
I ordered methylene blue. Actually, I ordered three things at the same time: methylene blue, the ultimate burn, and then the methyl drive.
Hell yeah, that's awesome! You're gonna love that. The ultimate burn really works. I lost like 30 pounds taking that stuff this year. I've gained 10 of it back though since I stopped taking it. I need to get back on it.
I just want to say it's such a privilege to talk to you guys, and if you don't mind me sharing, I wanted to share something because I wasn't going to say this, but you mentioned, you know, us needing to repent, and 2 Chronicles 7:14 out of the King James says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." This land was dedicated by George Washington back in 1700s. I don't remember exactly what year. And he prayed Solomon's Prayer. And that Solomon's Prayer, I won't go into it, it starts in the previous chapter, in chapter 6. And for us, this country isn't going to be fixed by Trump. And he's done good things, he's done bad things, and I mean, I won't get into all of that, but it's going to be fixed with us. I think there's a, not to sound crass in any way, shape, or form, but there was a saying, what happens in the bedroom stays in the bedroom, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
I say that to say, well, what has happened in the bedroom took place and is now being propagated outwards, whether it was good or bad or different.
I'm hopeful that we the people can rectify the situation, but we've got a lot of odds, a lot of things coming against us. I mean, our birth rate is like 1.6 per one woman. It needs to be 2.1 or 2.3 in order to be even self-sustaining. We're not having any children. Inflation is rampant. There's no evidence to suggest that spending is going to go down whatsoever, which is the cause of inflation, which means that we can't buy homes, which means that we have to rely on millions of migrants to come in to replace the population just so that the political class can have a subject base of fiefs to pay taxes up to the political class, which then spends all the money that it prints among members of the political industrial complex, including the military industrial complex, so they can skim off the top. I mean, we're rapidly arriving at a place where we have this end of times Rome level economy where everybody's just kind of broke, except for the political elite who celebrate and live some decadent hedonistic lifestyle while we get invaded by savages on all of our borders. It's starting to happen right now. Jay, are you seeing some similarities between the fall of Rome and what's happening in the United States, or is it just me?
100%. 100%. Babylon, Rome.
Yeah.
You take a look at any of those things, and that's where, you know, that's why I brought up that scripture, is we need to repent as a home. It starts in the home. It starts in the bedroom, not meaning in a crass way, but our repentance at home, and it starts with us cleaning ourselves out and making the change. I mean, if we can make and leave our world a little bit better, and we all take part in that, I think that's going to be huge. And if you don't mind, there's one last thing that I wanted to share, and then
sure.
I'm done. And I just got to pull it up here. 1 second. It is Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the preface of that, Peter is responding to the people when they ask a very, very simple question. They were pricked in their hearts when they realized that they crucified Jesus, their Creator. And they asked the disciples, "What, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answers it very simple and says, We need to repent. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I bring that up too is, again, it falls in line with that repentance, and it falls in line with if we can get God back into our lives through that process and we live a holy life unto Him.
Yeah. I've repented and I've been baptized, and in certain moments of my life or certain times of my life, I feel closer to God than others. But I feel like our civilization, our society is incredibly far from God. Jay, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it and your support. The only war worth funding is the info war, so I appreciate you funding the info war at thealexjonesstore.com. And I hope that you'll call again and come visit us in Austin sometime. I just want to hit some of these headlines before we wrap up the show. There's 13 minutes left, and there's a clip that I want to show you of Eric Weinstein talking about Epstein and how he was an intelligence asset. But look, new Biden lawyers up after longtime personal attorney Bob Bauer quits amid AutoPen scandal. It does look like things are heating up with this AutoPen scandal, but we'll see if anything happens. Elon Musk calls for Trump to just release the Epstein files as promised. Obviously, there are reasons that's not happening, yet to be determined for sure. Steve Bannon's interview, which has been unpublished or was never published, is expected to come out next year. We'll see if that actually happens. Cuomo shakes up New York City mayoral race, announces run as independent after he lost the primary to communist Muslim Zohran Mamdani. And the new Zohran Mamdani, meet the Somali Muslim running for mayor of Minneapolis and listen to his loony ideas for the city. I mean, this guy looks exactly like the guy from, what was that movie with Tom Hanks where the ship got attacked by pirates? And the guy goes, "I am the captain now." Project Veritas text messages show Secret Service agent disclosing operational details to a stranger, disparaging the president. This all comes a year after the assassination attempt on President Trump. In Butler, Pennsylvania, DOJ ethics official released a statement after being fired by AG Pam Bondi. Who cares? More AutoPen stuff. Trump's trying to make it all about the AutoPen. It's just not going to work. I think everybody's more interested in the massive pedophile ring on behalf of our so-called greatest ally than they are on behalf of the AutoPen. But let's run clip 35 here and unpack it on the other side.
Jeffrey Epstein conducted a conference called Confronting Gravity. I don't know who Jeffrey Epstein was, but I would certainly bet money that he was a product of at least one or more elements of the intelligence community.
The CIA, the FBI?
Those are ours, right? Department of Homeland Security has some of the stuff. Geospatial intelligence has some of this. You know, it's a large network. I'm talking about people like David Grush. I'm talking about people potentially like David Fravor. I'm talking about people like Jake Barber. I'm talking about scientists like Leo Szilard. Imagine if Leo Szilard didn't know that the Manhattan Project was going on, or Jack Raper, a journalist who broke a story. These people all think that they're doing their jobs. I desperately want to know why Jeffrey Epstein knew so much about my work. And I want to know why he was connected to my graduate program. I was in the Harvard Mathematics Department. Jeffrey Epstein was absolutely connected to the Harvard Math Department. I want to know why.
How was he connected to that department?
You're pushing me to say things I'm not going to say.
I'm curious. I'm not trying to push you
anywhere. I understand, but I'm just not going to do it. I'm saying that anybody who wants
You said he was connected to the math department?
To the Harvard Mathematics Department.
How did you know he was connected?
You can Google it. You could Google it right now. This is not... I can point at all sorts of stuff that's hidden in plain sight.
So I'll take your word for it. And the assertion that I'm picking up on is that Jeffrey Epstein was planted in your world to...
I'm not saying he's planted. I don't know who he was. I don't know who ran him. He certainly was not a financier in any standard sense.
Really?
That was a cover story, yes.
The way that we know Jeffrey Epstein, in the UK especially, is just this guy who was this rich guy who had this island, who brought people there and then did these despicable things there.
Disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, that's the story. Yeah,
disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. It's called Perseveration. He was a disgraced financier. What kind of a financier? A disgraced one. What was his name? Oh, he was disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. They perseverate that into your mind so that you auto-complete that in your LLM life. Do you believe that that's what Jeffrey Epstein was?
You met him.
Yeah.
Financier?
He wasn't a financier the day I met him.
What was he?
He was a weird guy who didn't seem to know a lot about currency trading. Claiming to run a multi-billion dollar FX hedge fund.
When you say a weird guy, what made him weird?
Same stuff I've said on Chris Williams. I'm not going to go back through that. Just my point is you're getting a different interview, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to get at is Jeffrey Epstein knew a tremendous amount about my work when nobody knew anything about my work. And he had a pipeline into me that I didn't understand, which is that he was connected to my graduate program. And you can check out the conference called Exploring Gravity.
And host a physical workshop called Confronting Gravity.
Confronting Gravity, that's right.
In March 2006.
Yeah, what is Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein is very focused on gravity.
Was it a gravity conference?
Yeah.
It was about gravity?
Yeah.
What the fuck was he doing talking about bloody gravity if he's a financier?
Well, it was very important to get Nobel laureates and some of the smartest people on Earth to come to the Virgin Islands and talk about gravity. Stephen Hawking was there. David Gross was there. Lawrence Krauss was there. Lisa Randall was there right before his conviction.
But there's no list.
And I'm telling you, he was very focused on the Harvard Math Department. And he knew all about me in ways that he wasn't supposed to.
I have to be clear on my understanding of what you're saying. From what I understood, and you can say, Steve, I'm not going to answer that, whatever, but I just have to, because you've opened up a curiosity hole in my mind,
sure.
So let me try and fill it, even if it's the conversation I had with Chris.
I'll just evade you.
Fine.
Yeah, fine.
Like, fine, you're within the right to evade me, and I hold the right to ask, which is, what I'm hearing is you believe, and I'm just going to say it how I think it, is what I'm hearing is you believe that Jeffrey Epstein was not a financier. He was planted in some way to interfere.
He was a construct, is what I said.
He was a construct in some way to mess with the progression of physics.
Jeffrey Epstein, apparently, I think some... I'll tell you what I said. When I met him, when the meeting was over, I immediately called my wife and I said, I have just met a construct. She said, what do you mean? I said, this person is not who they claim to be. Somebody has constructed this human being to be something that they are not, which is a hedge fund genius. Somebody who could understand the euro and the yen like nobody else. Bullshit. Not true. I believe that whoever constructed Jeffrey Epstein was running multiple different programs through the same thing, having put in a large initial investment. It wasn't about one thing. If you build a mall, you don't just have clothing stores in the mall. You have a food court in the mall, right? You have jewelry in the mall. You have all sorts of different things in the mall. Jeffrey Epstein was a construct of something that was running multiple things. One of those things was science. And I don't think that the science and the pedophilia were necessarily in the same bucket. He was funding all sorts of people. I don't think everybody at that, you know, part of the problem with calling his plane the Lolita Express and calling his island Pedophile Island is that you just can't see all the different things that were going through this guy. I don't think almost any of those scientists are exposed, you know, maybe a few of them, but very few of them, to anything really horrible. I think he was trying to keep a periscope on everything that was interesting. And I think that his girlfriend's father, Robert Maxwell, was all through scientific publishing. And I think Pergamon Press was in part a control mechanism for making sure that revolutionary discoveries were taking place within a framework. Anybody can, look, you can write a Substack article and you can hit post and suddenly the world has access to your Substack article. That is a nightmare. What if somebody posts, you know, weaponized anthrax? What if they do the equivalent of saying, what if there's a neutral proton?
So you think he was controlling science?
I think that Robert Maxwell was in part trying to control science.
Wow.
I think Jeffrey Epstein was in part trying to
control
science.
All right, we have time for one, maybe two more callers, but definitely one. Patty in Ohio. Patty, what do you think about all that?
That is really interesting that that just came on because it corresponds to James Patterson, and he collaborated with John Conley and Tim Melly. A book they wrote called Filthy Rich, The Billionaire's Sex Scandal back in 2016.
Yeah.
And listening to that man, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like what's in the book. And Friday, Owen, he said a lot of stuff too. I don't even know if Owen read this book, but it's like, wow, man, this is like right on. But this particular girl who was used by Maxwell, and she had a big part in this. I think she was worse than the pimp of Palm Beach. Virginia Roberts, but I don't know if she's the one who committed suicide or not. I don't know. But she did say that Epstein and Maxwell told her when she was having sex to get pay attention to details about what men wanted. She said that she was witness to a lot of illegal and bad behavior by Epstein and his friends. And Epstein did have some sort of book or something on this because he said, quote, they would owe him, and, quote, be in his pocket, and, quote, he would have something on them. So Epstein, he really was into a lot of different people. I mean, we're talking ex-presidents, presidents, Nobel Prize winners, billionaires. Prince Andrew was basically Maxwell's little friend. He was really involved with a lot of...
But there's no list, Patty.
University presidents, Harvard, MIT.
Yep.
He really got around. I mean, what a pervert. And he really was the pimp of Palm Beach. He really was.
The pimp of the whole entire political class, including the military-industrial complex. We have to get to the bottom of this. I mean, this just gets creepier and creepier and weirder the more you look into it. And the less they give us answers, of course, the more questions that we have. And they come out with these claims like there's no list and he killed himself. I think he's in witness protection. I don't even think that he's dead. It's just unbelievable to me. Folks, we're coming up on the end of this transmission. Rick, I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to you. You were next in line, but we've only got about a minute and a half left. Next time you call, though, I'll certainly remember to go to you first. In the meantime, please go to the alexjonesstore.com. Check out Power Drive, this incredible bundle. I mean, it's like Turbo Force on steroids. I took the Power Plant from Rex and the Methyl Drive from Rex, both formulated by Rex Jones, Alex's son. Developed by Bigly, sold exclusively to the InfoWars audience through the alexjonesstore.com. And if you take these two in conjunction with one another, you will experience a power unlike any power that you've ever experienced before. I have been very tired the last couple of weeks. Last week was like hell week for me. I was on air 5 hours a day, 25 hours total, and I was driving home, and I had taken both the Power Plant and the Methyl Drive because I try all the products when they come in, and I could not believe how good I felt. And I immediately called the Bigly guys and I said, hey, we have to bundle these products. We have to call it Power Drive. It's Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You get up to 50% off, even more, if you subscribe. You ensure that you always get yours, even when these bottles are sold out. And by the way, they're flying off the shelf. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now, not just because you'll experience unprecedented power and energy, the likes of which Turbo Force couldn't even hold a candle to, but because by going to the alexjonesstore.com and supporting us, you're keeping InfoWars on the air, Alex Jones on the air, this crew operational, and these hosts broadcasting the truth worldwide. Stay with us for more on the other side.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feel really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen, so please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink. but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, that, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get a
I think it's about the Wing Blue.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones